Good morning, church. It's great to be with you all another Sunday where I get to spend time with you. And Thanksgiving was last weekend, so I hope you all stayed healthy because Miss Rona, crazy out there. You know, for guys who you don't know, that's what people call her, Miss Rona or Auntie Rona. And it's the first week of December, and we have less than 3 weeks to go before 2020 is over. And you know, I can bet some people are looking forward to Christmas. Some people are looking forward to 2020 to be over. I am looking forward to Christmas. I should probably say I'm more looking towards Christmas and all that comes along with it. For some people, the thought alone of Christmas, it probably brings some stress to folks. And, you know, and they're probably thinking about finding the perfect gift. And that brings on stress. For some other people, the stress comes around from, I don't even know what the perfect gift is. For some people, like, well, I know what the perfect gift is, but I don't want to break the bank. And for others, like, I don't even have a bank to break. And for some of you, you're probably looking forward to eating, and you're worried about the pounds, and you're having stress about the pounds that you're going to gain. And for others, your stress is different, right? You know. Because of COVID, there is no bank, there is, a little food. And I know for some people, this Christmas season is a little bit of struggle. For some people, they're looking for family to come over. And for others, you're like hoping family won't come over. You're actually happy for COVID, so they'll stay there and they won't even come over. You know, And I don't know how you think about Christmas this year, what's going on with you in Christmas this year, but no matter how you think about it, one thing is certain. This Christmas season is going to be different than all the other Christmas seasons that you've ever had. Certainly the case is for me, it's different than any other Christmas season. It's going to be a non-traditional Christmas, to say the least. But there is one Christmas tradition, however, I'm hoping that won't change for me. And it's a tradition I carried from Jamaica, where I grew up, and it's called Jamaican black cake, or Jamaican fruit cake. Some people call it Jamaican black cake. Other people call it Jamaican rum cake. But you know, being the sanctified and the saved and the holy man of God that I am, yeah, and that goes for you too, by the way, because if you know Jesus, you're saved and a sanctified holy man of woman of God, you are too. We'll call it by the more sanctified name, Jamaican fruitcake. And if you've never seen it made, it's prepped long before the cake is made. And some people prep it for like a whole year before. And it starts out with fruits like, you know, cherries and raisins and currants and prunes and, you know, dates. And you drop it in a blender and you pour in overproof rum inside there, and then you pour in some port wine or maybe some Concord wine, and you blend it and you puree it to almost like a liquefied form of fruit, and then you let it sit and you soak it for a long time. As I mentioned before, some people soak it for a year. And that mixture goes into the cake. And if you've never had Jamaican fruit cake before, I would suggest that you make friends with a Jamaican person and you go try it. And I got to warn you, though, that, you know, you got to eat it in small doses. When they serve it, they normally serve it in these small doses. And the reason why is because they don't want you to drive after drinking too much of that, or eating too much of it, or making an important decision. And so I'm looking forward to that Christmas tradition. And so for the people who normally supply them with it, you know, people like names like Lorraine, names like Marjorie, names like Maxine. Yeah, I hope you all are watching this. Anyway, you know, let me get started. A few weeks ago, we began a new series on the Holy Spirit of God that we have simply titled Refreshing. We've titled it Refreshing, and the topic of God's Holy Spirit is one that has caused confusion over the years for many people, because people might have seen some weird things, or there was some, you know, strange, you know, or maybe not so biblical teachings of it in some churches. We want to talk about it because our desire is to get you to understand, you know, Paul said concerning these things, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so we began a few weeks ago by defining what is God's Holy Spirit. And the answer to that lies in the original language, and for that, which is a term which literally means God's fresh air. And every attribute of wind or every attribute of air is inherent in God's Holy Spirit. And we also said that while it's like a fresh of breath air, it's actually different because the Holy Spirit is also a person with a personality. And when you invite him to come into your life, we said that it's like inhaling this fresh air. And when it comes, when he comes into your life, this fresh air comes into your life, it makes you a better person. But not only does he come into your life and come into your body and come into your being, he doesn't come empty-handed like somebody who shows up to a housewarming party without any gifts. He actually comes bearing gifts, and we talked about these spiritual gifts 2 weeks ago. Now, when God, the Holy Spirit, comes up, he not only shows up, he not only brings gifts, but he actually changes you into a better person by bringing God attributes, and he takes those God attributes and fuses it with your personality. In other words, his spirit changes our spirit, and his spirit, in changing our spirit, produces a new spirit, and it produces a new person to become a new person. So today we're going to talk about this personality changing, those mind altering, those outlook enhancing God attributes of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. But before we get any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that you'll just speak through me now as I deliver what you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to start out today by reading a passage of Scripture. It's found in Mark 11, 12 through 14 and 20-21. It says, "The next morning, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Bethany on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was hungry. And he noticed a leafy fig tree a little way off, and so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. And then Jesus said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat of your fruit again.' And the disciples heard him say it. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree that Jesus had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, 'Look, Rabbi! The tree that you have cursed has withered and died.'" You know, in order to understand this story, I need to give you a little bit of background. See, the story told by Mark began on a Monday morning, just 4 days before Jesus was going to be arrested, tried, and executed. And Jesus had just spent the night in a suburb of Jerusalem called Bethany, and which was about, Bethany was about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And when Jesus and the disciples woke up, you know, they just literally just got out of bed and they headed out for Jerusalem. And apparently they left without eating any breakfast. And as a result of that, Jesus was hungry. And so, you know, I think this is kind of interesting because Jesus being Jesus, he could have just like, "Hey, let there be breakfast," and there would be breakfast. But how many of you know that oftentimes Jesus doesn't do exactly what we expect him to do because he has an object lesson that he wants to teach? And this day was going to be one of those object lessons that he wanted to teach us something. And so he left hungry. And so he noticed a fig tree, and it was a leafy fig tree in the distance. So he walked over to see if there was any fruit in it. But there was none. There was only leaves. So a little bit about figs. For those of you who are not fig farmers, like me, I'm a fig farmer. I'm not a fig farmer. But fig trees normally lose their leaves in winter. But in the spring, it naturally starts to produce little fig buds. And before the leaves open, so by the time the leaves are fully open, the leaves really should be fully ripe and surely fully open and fully ready. But the fact that the tree was leafy meant that there really should have been many ripe figs on the tree. The fig tree was supposed to bear fruit, and the fig tree was not bearing any fruit. The fact is, you know, if you're a fruit tree, you're supposed to bear fruit. If you're a mango tree, you're supposed to bear mangoes. If you are an orange tree, you're supposed to bear orange. Whatever you are, as a tree, you're supposed to bear fruit based on what you are. See, anything else other than that is a problem. And the same thing that is true for trees is the same thing that's true for people. Whenever you see, whatever you see action on the outside is a reflection of what really is on the inside of the person. Whatever fruit grows on the outside is a reflection of the tree that's inside of you. The tree inside of you that's producing fruit. If what is being produced in the outside doesn't reflect what is growing and what is in you on the inside, then there is a problem. You're either a hypocrite, an imposter, a capper, as some of our young people would say. Whatever it is, you don't have any integrity. And you can only keep up that charade for so long before your true colors come showing through. Your true fruit is displayed. You know, this is kind of a side note. I'll just give it to you, you know. I'm going to give you a bit of advice today. And this advice is worth more. It's worth more than the price of admission, which, by the way, is free, so it's free advice. Whenever someone consistently shows you something about themselves, and they show it to you, no matter what their words say, believe it. Because your actions speak louder than words, and the key word is consistently. You know, people have off days, but whenever they consistently show you something, believe it. And Jesus himself kind of explained it this way. He said in John 3:6, he said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Or the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And Paul, you know, Paul kind of expounds on this concept in chapter 5 of his letter he wrote to the church in Galatia. And he said, he kind of breaks it down this way. He said, in Galatians 5:17, he said, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they're in conflict with each other. And he breaks it out a little bit more. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. The acts of the flesh are obvious. There is sexual immorality. There is impurity, and there is debauchery, and there is idolatry. There is witchcraft, and there is hatred, and there is discord, and there is jealousy, and there is fits of rage. There is selfish ambitions. There is dissensions, which are kind of like divisions. And there's envy and drunkenness and wild parties. And these are the some sins, other sins like these. And he said, these are really the acts of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh. And you know, he says, you can know the fruit of the flesh, right? You know, if you see somebody who's like sexually active outside of the context of marriage, and they really have no issues with it, there's no guilt, there's no convictions, and or they're, you know, they always, their thoughts always have some scheming, ulterior motives. You know, they're always trying to connive, and they're trying to scheme to finesse. And then, you know, people who display or the works of the flesh or the fruit of the flesh, they really don't really have an issue with anything. Like, yo, man, you do you, I do me. You know, just anything goes. And in doing you, you're like, hey, I can do whatever I want to do. Don't hold back. If it feels good, do it. Another characteristic of the fruit of the flesh can be. You know, a lack of belief in God and Jesus and His Holy Spirit, and one of the things is that you ascribe things to the created more than you ascribe things to the Creator. So you look and you'll say, well, science is this. Like, well, who created science? The common one today is, well, the universe. The universe, you know, was a line, well, who created the universe? And by the way, the universe is just really God. They just don't want to call it as God. And so people will worship and give more value to the created than to the Creator. That's somebody who's displaying the fruit of the flesh. If you're someone who will get a kick out of starting something, Michael Jackson used to said it in a song, you want to be starting something, got to be starting something. How to get up. Well, you know, if you like to get a kick out of mixing it up, if you're a person who's like always angry and always annoyed, and maybe something goes off inside of you whenever and you see somebody getting ahead, you're like, you just like don't even want them to get ahead, then you're displaying the fruit of the flesh. If you enjoy getting lit or getting drunk, and you just look for opportunities to get drunk, like, man, I'm going to get plastered tonight. I'm going to get plastered tomorrow. I'm going to get so drunk, I'm going to vomit, and I'm going to do it again. You know, if you look for that, or to look for opportunities to state man-altering substances to the point where your judgment is impaired, and you look forward to doing it all the time, or you're a big-time partier, and you're a clubber, and everybody around you would describe it that way. Oh, you know that guy? Yeah, man, he likes to get lit. Then you're displaying the fruit of the flesh. But you know something? That when you make a verbal, conscious decision to follow Jesus, His Spirit comes into your life, and His Spirit gets grafted into your spirit. And by doing that, it changes your spirit to become a new spirit. And he says this, that anyone who does this becomes a new creation, the old tree is gone, but the new tree is there producing new fruit. You know, most of you know, because I've said it before, that I have a tremendous amount of respect for my father-in-law. At 80 plus, he's still one of the smartest, he's one of the strongest, he's one of the handiest, he's one of the wisest, most versatile man I know. Well, among many things that he does is that he's a farmer. And if you go to his house, into his backyard, you'll see so many fruit trees, it's hard to count them. And not only does he, like, you know, produces and harvests fruits and he gives them out to people, and he also cultivates trees. So now he cultivates fruit. He cultivates trees and gives them away. And he does it through a process called grafting. And I'm going to describe how it works, right? You see, if he wants a Julie mango tree, he'll start out, you know, he has like tons of little mango trees planted from seeds, and they're growing in these little pots. So you start out with one of those trees, a tree maybe about this high. And then somebody says, oh, you want a Julie? He'll go to a Julie mango tree, and he'll cut off a branch that is producing fruit, a fruit-producing branch, and he'll cut it down and pare it down a little bit to the little twig, and then he'll go to the original mango tree that he planted some time ago from the seed, and he'll pare it on the side, and he'll cut the middle of it, and then he'll take the little stick, and he'll stick it right in the middle of the tree, like that. And so the new twig is into the old tree, and he wraps it around with plastic. And what happens is that it starts to grow. And as it starts to grow, he cuts off below the grafting line the other pieces. So what happens is that you now have a Julie mango tree produced from a Kerry mango tree. It's a new tree. It's a new creation. And that's what happens when you invite Jesus into your life. His Spirit gets engrafted into your spirit, and your old spirit is kind of cut off, cut off the sides of spirit, and a new spirit takes place. The same body, like the old tree, but a new tree is growing from it, a new spirit, and now you can start to produce Holy Spirit fruit. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. And so, what is this fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Well, first of all, you know, it's singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. But it has multiple characteristics of the same fruit. And Paul says here in the same passage, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. He produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, the first four characteristics of this fruit is love. And that is the center of the fruit. And it's almost like if you took an apple and you went down to the middle of it, there's a core in the middle of the apple, or like a pineapple. Well, that's what love is in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the core. It's the piece that everything else wrapped around. And you know, Jesus said this himself, right? He's like, look, he said it in Matthew 22. He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, Jesus said, all the laws, everything that I've ever talked about, everything that we'll ever talk about is all wrapped up in this one concept of love, like he has loved us. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and he gets engrafted into your spirit, what starts to happen is that it starts to produce a kind of love that's called agape. And agape love, that's a Greek word for it. It's a no rules kind of love, you know. And, you know, it's just like, I just, you know, want to do the right thing for people. And it's evident in our thoughts and in actions. And that kind of love, it spurs us to action. It always has us going off inside our mind that whenever we come upon any situation, it's like, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? Every time you come up a situation, it pops into your mind. What does love require of me? It's a not about you, it's not about me kind of love. It's not about you kind of love. It's really about the you beside you kind of love. The fruit of the Spirit produces joy. And joy means gladness, but unlike the world's joy that is fleeting, this Holy Spirit fruit characteristic is not based on your circumstances. It's not based on your current circumstances. This joy, this gladness that you have is in spite of your circumstances. This joy that you have is not only that, it's also because of our circumstances. I have joy because of my circumstances. It's a gladness that comes simply from the realization of God's favor and his grace in our lives, in your life and in my life. But the Holy Spirit fruit also produces peace in our life. That's part of the fruit. And this peace comes from a knowledge that God's got your back, no matter how bleak the situation may look. It produces patience. It produces patience. It gives you the ability to move at somebody else's pace. You see, when you move at somebody else's pace, you can't be short-tempered. You end up being long-tempered because you don't get angry because they're like not doing the things you want to do. You like, you know, you go to where they are, you meet them, and you walk alongside them. That's patience. That's patience. It produces integrity. God's Holy Spirit fruit produces integrity. Where our words and our actions are aligned, it produces the burning desire to do the right thing. The burning desire to do the right thing, not only when somebody's looking. Because it's easy to do the right thing when people are looking, but it allows you to do the right thing. It makes you do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. You know, it produces a desire to be kind. And the kindness is really loaning somebody else as your strength. He's like, I got a strength in somewhere. I got a strength in finances. I got some skills. And maybe I have strength and I have flexibility in my time. It just simply makes you want to use it to help somebody in an area where they're weak. It gives you the ability to control your impulses and your desires physically and mentally. It gives you the ability to know when to stop. Like, how far is too far? Know when to stop before that is. It gives you the knowledge of how to stop. But not only does it give you the when and the how, but it gives you the desire to stop. And he's like, I want to stop because I don't want to get to that point where the point is too far on the other side. No. That's what the Holy Spirit produces. And you know what that's called? That's simply called self-control. You know, I've been preaching long enough to know that, no. That right about now, most people who are watching and most people who are listening are thinking about someone. And you know that person you have in your mind is like, ooh, they got the fruit of the flesh. I see the fruit of the flesh all up inside of them. You know that person. It could even be somebody close. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be a coworker. It could be a relative. And you're saying to yourself, man, I see them. Ooh, they full up of flesh. I can't wait to send this message to them. I'm like, ooh, you got to listen to this message. And you know, sharing the message is always a really good idea. But I just want to encourage you to just stop and pause. And to take a few moments to stare first at the man in the mirror. And ask yourself a question. What fruit is evident in my life? What would people say to me? The people who know me, what would the people who know me say is the fruit that is more evident in my life? The fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? And I think if we really did this, we would actually... Yes, if we're really honest with yourself, we may find out that we don't see some of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives either. I want to leave you with a few thoughts to ponder. You know, producing healthy fruit requires time. It's a process. And just like physical fruit needs time to grow, it's like physical fruit needs time to grow, the fruit of the Spirit will oftentimes not ripen in our lives overnight. It's like a lifelong process that the fruit of the Spirit in our lives just keep maturing. And it keeps getting better and better and more mature and more mature and more succulent and more succulent and prettier and prettier. And it does that. The fruit of the Spirit will become more evident and even more evident and even more evident and even more evident in our lives. But there's another thing that's required to produce healthy fruit. See, pruning is required. The fact is that healthy spirit requires pruning. You know, I talked about grafting before, you know, and I see my father-in-law do it, you know. You know that when you graft a tree into another tree, the old root is still there. And as a result, sometimes little sprouts will start to come off that old tree below the grafting line where they grafted it. And you got to prune and cut these little sprouts off and cut it off, because left unchecked, those little sprouts will grow into branches. And left unchecked, it will not only grow into branches, but it will start to produce old fruit. But not only that, it will steal away nutrients from the stuff above the line and will choke out the new fruit. So the farmer has to cut off or prune anything that starts the growth process of the old fruit. And you know, that requires diligence. You can't let up. You can't let up. You got to keep pruning every time that you see those other things, the old fruits that come, you cut it off. But the third thing that healthy fruit requires is just simply work. And any good farmer will tell you that in order to produce good fruit, you need like three ingredients. You need good soil. You need fertilizer, some kind of fertilizer, and you need water. The good soil is really a good environment for things to grow. The fertilizer is good food for the plant to eat. And the water provides the nourishment necessary for the plant to survive. And all of this is not passive stuff. This is not passive stuff. You know, it's work. It's work. And in the same way, for you to produce Holy Spirit fruit in your life, it's going to require work. It requires diligence. It requires daily diligence, spending time in God's Word. By the way, that's good nourishment. And it requires constant communication with Him in praise and in prayer throughout the day. That's good food. And you got to surround yourself with some people who's going to help you in your walk. And, you know, that includes church and your small group and your accountability partner. That is good soil. That's good environment. It's environment. It's nourishment. And it's food, but it takes work to produce good fruit. You know, we've been talking about fresh air and the Holy Spirit being fresh air. And for a number of people listening or watching today, you may have what I call inhale the fresh air of God's Spirit. In other words, by asking Him to come into your life. But you might have stopped there. You might have stopped there. And, you know, it's kind of, you stopped there because you got your little get out of hell free card. It's like, I know I'm good. I'm not going to go to hell. It's like you inhale the fresh air of the Holy Spirit and He's inside of you. But then you just held your breath. And you're just waiting to exhale. But you won't exhale. You're just waiting to exhale. Which is, in essence, what you do, what we do when we don't put in the time and the work necessary to produce good fruit. It's what we do when we don't cut off the branch, the little sprouts that start to grow below the graft line. That's what we do when we hold on to those things in the past and our past ideas and our past habits. When we hold on to, like, well, I'll give that up, but no, I don't really want to give this up. What we're doing is we're making little trees, little sprouts grow below the graft line. And for you, if that's you, it's time to exhale, to let what's inside of you come out of you. And for some of you watching and listening to this, your issue is maybe a little bit different. You know, your issue is you've tried to produce good fruit. But not only do you try to produce good fruit, you're trying to produce good fruit and bad fruit at the same time. You're trying to make stuff grow above the graft line and stuff grow below the graft line. And you want to do the right things, but the allure of the wrong thing is so great that you just don't want to give up the wrong thing. And so, you know, you try to do both, you know. You're the type of person, you know, you know all the worship songs. Man, you can go and you can raise your hand with the best of them. You can do it. You sing like, oh, I'd love to get my praise on, you know, like, you know. And you know all the Bible verses as the preacher is talking. You can quote them out and all the stuff. And you put them in nice little Instagram photos, and you like you tweet out your Bible verse for today or whatever you do, and you know, it's just like, I'm just this holy man, a woman of God. You talk all this good God talk. But other than that, outside of that, there is no Holy Spirit fruit being produced in your life. There's no Holy Spirit fruit being evident in your life. So really, all you're doing, it's like the story Jesus told in the beginning, all you're doing is producing leaves. And from a distance, you look like the perfect package. You look nice and green and leafy. But on closer inspection, like Jesus did, there is no fruit. You're just a leaf guy. Or you're just a leaf girl. We're going to coin that term, leaf guy. You see somebody acting up and doing all the stuff, and you're like, and then when you get close to them, you realize they're just a wolf in sheep clothing. You say, tell your friend, that's a leaf guy. That's a leaf girl. And if they're really good at it, it's like, ooh, they got a bunch of leaves. They won't know what you're talking about, but you'll know what you're talking about. But I want to tell you that if you're that person, be forewarned, because just like in the story of what Jesus did to the fig tree that was only producing leaves, you're in danger of being cut down. Single ladies, single men, stay away from leaf guys and leaf girls. But you know, for some of you, your issue is not that you're waiting to exhale. Your issue is that you pretty much got nothing to exhale. Why? Because you never really inhaled the fresh air of the Holy Spirit before. You've never invited Jesus into your life. And so as a result, there is no fruit of the Spirit, or very little fruit of the Spirit. It's mostly fruit of the flesh. And so even at your best, you're still producing primarily leaves. But you know, the good news is that Jesus invites you to a better life. Jesus invites you to a life characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I've extended that invitation to you today. I'm God's mouthpiece to let you know that this can be yours. You can start a process where it just starts to grow and grow and mature and get better and better and better through this journey called life. And if you'd like to do that, just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I ask that you come into my life, that your Spirit, your fresh air, your Holy Spirit air, come and fill my lungs and fill my body and change me and make me more into the person that you want me to be. Lord, I commit to living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you've said that prayer, welcome to the family. You know, you'll start to see changes happen in your life if you put in the work of the pruning, of the good environment, of the good nourishment. And if, you know, for others of us who are on that journey, I want to encourage you to keep on putting in the work, Our lives will be better for it. Our relationships will be better for it. Our jobs will be better for it. Our careers will be better for it. And God's kingdom will be better for it. It's great being with you this week, and can't wait to be with you again next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.